This is Business Dimensions. Expert insights for your business with host Deborah Burns of Crystal River Advisors. How do you take control and conquer the biggest challenges you face? Learn from leading experts on today's show. Unlock solutions to your most difficult business problems. Now here's your host, Deborah Burns, on 770 KKOB.
Good evening. I'm Deborah Burns, host of the show and managing partner of Crystal River Advisors, LLC. Crystal River Advisors help business owners focus on business potential, performance, and profit, and overcoming the challenges to getting more of all three. You can learn more at crystalriveradvisors.com. Our show tonight is sponsored by NetSciences, real IT for your business. If you value your time, NetSciences will save you money. And many thanks to our producers tonight, Mike Vitale and Eric Lucero. Thanks, guys. We have a great guest tonight and a great show. Each week, Business Dimensions brings you an expert guest to give away their expertise and knowledge on the air. And tonight, we have Joshua Liberman from NetSciences, who will be helping us talk about data security and data protection guidelines for your business. Welcome, Joshua.
Hi, thanks a lot, Deborah.
We are so delighted to have you come in and give us some insight, because this can be a real morass. But before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm going to work backwards because it's easier for me to remember. I've run NetSciences for about 20 years, and for 5 years before that, the business was PC Services. It was more of a hobby. I worked full-time in the Department of Energy and had a sideline. Before that, I graduated from UNM with a very valuable philosophy and linguistics degree. I also studied in math and physics. I had a real interest in astronomy as well. And before that, I was a rock climber, a little rock and ice and mountaineering. And I also did some poorly competitive competition kickboxing and even raced cars for a bit. So it wasn't really a straight line to computing.
Well, it sounds like a well-rounded background. And so tell us a little bit about what NetSciences does these days.
Well, NetSciences provides all the outsourced services that you would, or provides all the services your IT department would provide you, should you have one. Mm-hmm. So basically, we do everything from building and supporting networks, doing end user and help desk support, to design, maintenance, security, remote access, wireless, it goes on. Pretty much the only things we don't do is run wire or host websites. Anything in between those two extremes, we do for you.
And you do that for a wide range of businesses, from 5 to 100 employees.
Typically. We have a few at either end of that. But, yes, typically I'd say a typical client has probably 10 to 50 users.
Well, we really appreciate you coming in and sort of helping us avoid some of the biggest threats out there to our data as it exists in the virtual space. So talk to us a little bit about some of the things you see out there that are really the things we need to be worried about.
Well, we'll start out with what everybody knows about, viruses and malware, which have kind of become one. At one time, you bought antivirus software, you bought anti-malware software, anti-adware software, but they've really kind of merged. It's really one item. And then, of course, everybody's heard of hackers, or outside attackers, as we call them. And a few of you, or many of you perhaps, have heard of social engineering attacks or ploys. I'll drill down a little bit. So in the old days, malware was all about getting on a machine and announcing that you had beat the defenses, popping up a banner that said, gotcha.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's not really the case anymore, because most of the attacks are a lot more professional, if you'll pardon the word. People get in there and they are in your systems for a long time and you have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot harder to protect against than there are more sophisticated attacks that bury themselves inside Trojan horses, and remote access Trojans, or rats, as we call them. But they are very effective. We'll go into a bit when we talk about how to protect against them. Outside attacks or hacks, another thing that most people think they know about, but the reality is they operate differently than you expect, and they're frequently more directed. They're not just a general attack. For the most part, they are attack on a specific website or an attack on your particular site. They're directed in the sense that the attackers know what they're doing and how to execute it, and they have a goal in mind.
Okay.
And, of course, wireless is also another what we call threat vector, but another way that folks can get into your network, and I'm sure a lot of people know about that. Social engineering is a kind of a broad category as well. Phishing attacks are very common, and people know that you're lured to give your credentials to a site that's not whom you expect it to be. There are many other good examples of that, and even blended threats, which are what they sound like. They're a mixture of social engineering hacks and malware attacks, and some of the most effective and hard to defend against attacks are in that category.
Well, and that's a great summary. And I don't know how many people, especially small businesses, track who's going to their site, but I was amazed at the number of trolling engines, especially out of China. If you track where hits to your page are coming from, it's amazing, you know, what the data shows you about people that you have no reason to believe would be actually coming to look for services or products that are actually hitting your website.
You know, you've actually opened up yet another can of worms there, and we hadn't really talked about defending websites. Most small businesses don't host their own websites, and that's a good thing, and that's a really specialized field, defending websites. But you're right. Sometimes those are innocuous because they're search engines and index engines and social media engines, and they're really what they're there to do is to constantly re-rank and constantly relist sites for searches. But a lot of times there are actually people who are rattling the front door or knocking on the back door.
Okay.
So they're trying to figure out where your weaknesses are.
So your hosting service is really your line of protection against those.
Yeah, the people who host your website are the people you need to talk to about that. And again, okay, that's kind of a separate, more specialized discussion.
Okay.
I wanted to get a little bit into the responses, you know, how to address all these threats. So honestly, there is no such thing as a secure internet-connected network, and anybody with a really serious security background understands that the more connected, the less secure. And it's
right. It's if you want to be connected, yeah, if you want to be connected online, you're going to
there are risks.
There's always going to be some level of risk.
So the way you address that is you prioritize the threats and you address as many with as simple a response as you can, and then you look at the remaining threats and address them one by one, mm-hmm, as your budget and as your paranoia level is appropriate.
Dictates, right.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not really paranoia if they really are out to get you. Anyway, let's get back to this. So the good news is that roughly 80 to 90% of the protection you need for your network can be delivered with a single device nowadays, something called a UTM firewall.
Okay.
And I'm going to always spell out my acronyms for you. UTM means Unified Threat Management.
Okay.
It's a modern firewall that can scan the packets of data that go through it completely to look at what's inside them.
And you were saying before, this type of firewall has a lot of different names. It could be called a DPI or fifth generation.
But fifth or sixth generation nowadays firewall, DPI, deep packet inspection. The bottom line is that in the old days, firewalls did very simple work. They looked at where you requested a web page from and looked at whether that was where the response came from. And they prevented unsolicited responses from outside. So if you didn't ask for it, they didn't deliver it.
Right.
But that doesn't actually protect you against everything from infected websites to thousands of other ways people get in.
Right.
So DPI or UTM, Unified Threat Management firewalls, are far more powerful. They don't just scan the header of the packets as the old school firewalls did. They scan the entire data packet. And that's the difference between a few bytes and 1,500 bytes. So you're talking about more than 100 to 1 more capabilities. They scan the whole packet. They look for signatures of any number of threats, whether they're viruses, malware, remote access attempts, et cetera, and they can block those. So, of course, they have to be far more powerful, but they are. Nowadays, as you've probably noticed, everything gets faster and more capable and generally less expensive.
Well, that's great. And you were saying before the show that those types of firewalls actually can protect you against 80 to 90% of the things you should be worried about.
Yeah, there's more capabilities built into them. There's a quick three to run through. And everybody who places a firewall needs to provide some secure remote access method so that they can get into the network. Because almost everybody wants at least to be able to get in from home, or they have remote users, or perhaps even multiple locations. So obviously, if you've battened down the hatches, there has to be some way to open up a small percentage of those hatches to get in.
For legitimate reasons.
Yeah, for your own secure remote access.
Uh-huh.
So that's typically done by means of what's known as a VPN or SSL VPN, virtual private network client, or SSL private network client. That's basically a simple and secure way to authenticate or prove who you are and then to gain access to your remote resources, in this case, your office.
Right. So this is for those of us who aren't as savvy. remote access is any time you're not actually sitting at your computer in your primary place of doing business. So it might be through a phone, through an iPad, through a laptop.
Or your home PC.
Or your home PC.
Sure. Anytime you're getting into your network, you're actually moving from the outside of the firewall to the inside as if you were in your office.
Okay.
So all modern firewalls, the UTM firewalls, do provide some degree of that support, some better than others, but most of them provide it pretty simply. Now, there's also wireless to protect, and, of course, it's very easy to be hacked wirelessly. A lot of people know about that.
Right.
And a lot of...
You know, it's amazing how many people have a wireless set up and they don't have a password to get on their wireless.
It's better than it used to be.
Okay.
Yeah, I went on TV actually roughly 7 years ago, one of the stations, and we were able to get into almost three quarters of everywhere we went. A couple of years ago, we did the same thing and it was down to maybe one quarter. People are much more savvy.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that's only the first step. That's WPA or WEP. I'm sorry, WPA or WPA2 protection. That's good. That's a little passphrase you type in to get on the network.
Right.
There's more to it than that, but the bottom line is the firewall can provide it. There's also content filtering, which means that you can prevent your users from going places they shouldn't go. And there's anti-spam capabilities in many firewalls. Frequently, that's done elsewise, but it is built into most firewalls, UTM-style firewalls, and even further, more fine-grained controls over what users do, such as Facebooking during the middle of the workday, or maybe you want to block video streams so it doesn't eat up your bandwidth. All capabilities like that are built into the firewall.
So you can actually configure your firewall, because there might be a couple of employees that actually have a legitimate reason to be on the social networks for your business. You can configure the firewall for settings for those types of things.
Almost infinitely fine-grained.
Okay, that's great. And they all come with updates, so they're constantly getting updated. The update service should be included in the price of firewall.
Well, typically you buy a firewall and you buy what are called services with it, which if you purchase properly, if you're advised properly, will include all these capabilities. They literally update themselves over the Internet hourly for signatures of attacks. They update the operating system inside themselves called firmware, or you can do that. It should all be bundled with it. You have to make sure when you purchase that properly.
Well, you're covering a lot of ground, and I know you have a free event coming up, or virtually free event coming up. Tell us about it.
We're going to have lunch and learn at Scalo Restaurant in Nob Hill down by Carlisle and Central. It is on Friday, April 25th.
Okay.
There is a $10 fee to attend, but we are giving everybody who shows up a $10 Scalo gift certificate, and we're also, as a matter of fact, at the end of the day, giving away a $100 certificate as well to one lucky winner.
Okay.
There's about 25 seats, so there's still some open. And that event is going to be all about security and data protection. So we've already gone through the first half of it, and now we'll go through that second half.
That's great. That's great. Okay. So what's next?
Well, the next thing is data backup. And that is a topic that maybe to an even greater extent folks are a little confused about. For example, I don't believe I've ever been somewhere where they didn't say they had great backup, and I don't believe I've ever been somewhere where they did have good backup, because there's more to it.
At least not when you walked in the door. Hopefully,
no.
By the time you walked out the
by
door.
By the time we're done, yeah, they will. So first of all, I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you something very important. Backup means nothing. Recovery means something.
And good point.
I'm going to tell you that because backup is very complicated. Recovery can't be, because recovery happens when you're down.
Yeah.
Recovery is your pacemaker. You can't shop for batteries once that thing fails.
Right.
So you really do need to be prepared in advance. I'm going to run through quickly the types of backup and how you might do it. So everybody probably gets that there's file and folder backups, right? You back up your data. You've got to be able to recover your data. That's simple. You can write to tape. You can write to disk. You might have an offsite backup service, but you've got to do it. But you've also got to have a backup of the configuration of your servers so that if you lose a server for any reason, theft, fire, whatever, you can bring that back online. You put a new server in place, you recover to that server, and you're running again.
Right.
You don't have to rebuild the network from scratch. That takes days, or even at a small place, one day. Well, business continuity discusses or addresses that. It's the ability to resume your operations quickly if there is a server loss, a theft, or just a bad patch and it won't reboot.
Right.
And then there's disaster recovery. And that's really the final frontier. That's the ability to recover from a disaster that wipes out your building or a complete theft of all your devices. And, of course, that implies that you have your data replicated somewhere off-site. It can't. There's no such thing as disaster recovery that doesn't have some sort of offsite data component.
Right.
So,
okay.
Sorry.
No, go great. All great. So how are you going? How should we do it now?
Well, what we see at most sites is folks have bought a disk or a tape drive. They've got a disk drive, and in one case, we walked into a law firm downtown that had a disk drive. They had purchased it. They plugged it into their server 2 years ago and were convinced that they now had a complete backup. They never actually did anything. They thought that that was
They
just,
never backed up anything on it?
They thought it was auto magic.
They
plugged it in. They thought they were done. So obviously, most people write files and folder backups, the basic stuff, to tape or to disk, and sometimes offsite, maybe a combination if they're smart. A lot of people don't do the imaging or the snapshotting, that server or site configuration backups. But if they do, the questions are, how often do you do it? Do you do it every time you make a change? Do you do it once a week, once a month? Do you get that offsite? Have you ever tested it? Or do you even know how?
Right.
And things that aren't tested frequently don't work. So once we get the business continuity, we've now narrowed the field. And there are maybe 5 or 10% of the businesses have really addressed this. And again, it's not backup, it's recovery. How long would it take you to get up and running if you walked in the door and your server was missing?
Right.
So for most folks, I think you probably assume a couple of days, but the reality is if you get on Dell or HP's or NetSciences website and you order a server and everything's in stock and everything works perfectly, you're about 3 to 5 days away from getting that hardware. It has to be built, tested, operating system installed, and then we get on site. Then we say, okay, where's your config backup? Is it something we can use to drop on your new server? In the parlance of the hardware geeks, is it hardware independent? Can we actually drop it from one type of server to another?
Right.
And finally, the final frontier, as we talked about before, was disaster recovery. Now you need everything. You've come in and the building's burned down, or there's been a complete theft of your IT equipment. Where's your data? Was it on a disk connected to your server? Because they usually don't leave that behind when they steal stuff.
Well, and the reason this number of days is so important is if you're a $1 million business, you did the numbers for me. Every day you're down, it's costing you like $4,000 a day in
sure.
your revenues.
Yeah.
And so one day, okay, but a week and you haven't even restored the configuration of your server. And how many days does that take if you don't have a good restorable, configuration file to load onto the server? So you're talking maybe a couple of weeks. You're talking like $40,000-$50,000 on a $1 million company.
Yeah.
I mean, that can bring you to your knees, right?
The numbers are simple. You're open 250 days a year if you're a 5-day a week business. If you do $1 million, it's $4,000 a day.
Yeah.
But you also have to realize that there are certain things you're going to miss. You're going to miss delivery deadlines. If you're a law firm, there are much more severe things, docketing and other deadlines you'll miss.
Right.
So you're going to lose the money of being out of business for the week or two it takes, the money it takes to engage really fast and competent people at overtime rates to work
right.
24/7 to recover you, and whatever it costs you in terms of goodwill with the jobs you miss and maybe even the customers that you lose because
right.
you're down.
Your business reputation, they just can't afford to do business with you.
Those aren't hard numbers like the $4,000 a day per $1 million of revenue are,
right.
but they could potentially matter more. So that's the big question. How fast can you recover? And I'm going to segue into how do you address all that, just like we did earlier with data security. How do you address that with a single device that covers almost everything?
Oh, great.
All right.
I'm glad there's a single device out there.
Yeah, and I have to couch this carefully. There's never any one single answer. And we're going to end with a very quick discussion of user training. But the device that can do 80 to 90% of it is a great step in the right direction. So you can actually install what we call a next-gen backup device or new backup device. It works on a different paradigm. It doesn't back up files and folders. It snapshots your servers and all the drives, hard drives attached to them, so that it sees everything in one single view. With those snapshots, you can actually do hourly, not daily, not weekly, but hourly snapshots of your servers, or even more frequently if you choose. And that means that if you lose a file that you created at 8:30 in the morning and it wasn't on last night's tape and it's now 10:45, you can roll back to the 10:30 version of that file. So you've actually lost virtually nothing. It's wonderfully granular, very, very quick, and very transparent. It's also a business continuity device in the same box. What that means is, for example, you've patched your server. This is the most common failure. You patch a server because you have to. You know you do security patches to stay secure.
Right.
And it won't reboot. Well, you can go complain to Microsoft, and that'll get you somewhere.
But, not very far.
Well,
probably.
If you have an IT staff, they'll give you more details on that, but it won't bring you up and running. But with a device like this, you can actually run from the image that was created in that last hour before the patch and run from the backup device. You run from it. It's a stand-in server. And finally, it's your disaster recovery service as well, because when you set up these devices, you pay for services like you do with a firewall that include replication of your data off-site to do two data centers around the country, so that you had to, you could pull data from there. You can keep a year, 3, 7 years of data up there. You can pull very old versions of a file. If you find out 4 months later you deleted something and you need it now, it's still up there. It's
right.
All included in this one service. And finally, it's automated, it's monitored, and it's continuously tested.
Sounds fabulous.
It is a pretty cool device.
So what is it?
So that's what we call next-gen backup. And
okay.
That device is essentially a computer that's specialized. It's for the purposes of doing what we discussed, of providing all that backup capability. So it's a combination of a device and a service.
Wow, it sounds amazing. And I know I can just, my mind is just going a million miles an hour at all the benefits of that. But I know we're coming close to the end of the show, and we want to start our wrap-up. Anything else you want to share with us about these topics?
Well, we didn't talk about really the weakest link in it. It's always going to come down to your people. You always need, with security or data protection, training is just vital.
Okay.
For example, not too long ago, waiting to give a security briefing at lunchtime for one of the law firms downtown. The phone was answered by the receptionist. We were talking, waiting. And she said, hang on a second, grabbed a Rolodex. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, I have to give the IT guy our server password. And that caused her to pause. And she looked at me and I looked at her and I said, right. And said, oh, you're our IT guy. So it's funny that the password was in a Rolodex. That's probably not a great idea, but it's a little funnier that she came quite close to doing that.
Right.
You have to think. You have to be vigilant and aware. And you always have to keep your folks continuously updated on the new threats and how to respond. Give them an hour.
Right.
Give it to them once or twice a year. Keep them in the loop.
Right. And you're going to help with that, and you're going to be sponsoring an event coming up this next week. So tell us about that.
Yes, that's going to be on Friday. That's the 25th at Scalo Restaurant in Nob Hill. It's right by Carlisle and Central. And it's the NSI Security and Data Protection Boot Camp. It's basically a 90-minute, it's a long lunch, but it's a wonderful lunch. And we're going to go through a lot of the basics of security. We're going to eat lunch, and we're going to go through the basics of data protection and give you some specifics.
Right.
If you're interested in names, costs, and set up some stuff. We also have a half-price security review and a half-price data protection analysis through the month of May and June.
That's great. So how do they register for this event?
Well, you can go online. You can go to netsciences.com/bootcamp, and there'll be a registration field. We're charging $10 for the event and providing everybody who shows up a $10 Scalo gift certificate, as well as a $100 gift certificate to one lucky winner.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing how we can keep our business data safe out there. If you've just joined us, we've been talking to Joshua Liberman of NetSciences, Inc., and talking about their upcoming event. So please don't miss out if you'd like to hear more. And the podcast for this show will be up on the 770kkob.com website starting tomorrow, so you can listen to it again. And but definitely you want to show up at that event at Scalo this Friday, April 25th at 11:30. Get a great lunch and get to one-on-one time at the end with Joshua. And we are here every Sunday at 5 p.m. This is Business Dimensions, Expert Insights for Your Business. Older shows that are no longer on the 770 KKOB website can be found at crystalriveradvisors.com under podcasts. And next week, we will have one of our returning guests helping us with business health plans, John Rossetti of Palms and Associates. So don't miss our show next week. Have a great and profitable week, and we'll see you next Sunday at 5. Good night, and have a great week.